Good evening. Glad to see everyone with us. Glad to have visitors with us. May have been here before, but you've close to been the first time anyway. So just appreciate you coming. Got a few announcements to make. The 20th anniversary of the Word of Life Tabernacle, which is in Covington, is having a meeting coming up August 21st through the 23rd. If you need information, it's up here. Also remember, Saturday we'll be having a drive-through shower. Rebecca and Mark, remember that, from 10 to 12 up here at the church this Saturday. And like I said, if you don't come Saturday and you want to bring it on Sunday, that'd be fine too. They'll take it. And they won't even say one word about it. Won't even complain. So that'll save you a trip. Also, we're having a graduation reception for Josiah and Esther coming up Sunday, July the 26th, after the second service, and that will be at the Gillsville Park. So I'm sure they'll be getting stuff together, but there'll be a get-together for Josiah and Esther. Josiah's not here, but Esther is, so just remember that. Also, Joyce and them called into our text and said that Hope is having problems. Her car broke down. They had to go get her. That's why they're not here. So remember that. And Brother Danny had to go get the car. So remember him as we pray. As long as I...
Camp meeting's canceled this year.
Okay. The August meeting that they've always had is canceled. Remember Brother Ray's going tomorrow for some tests. Keep him on your heart, too, as we pray.
Sister. Someone's traveling this coming Saturday.
Okay. Amen. Remember, Paul will be traveling on Saturday, coming down. So just remember him, that he'll have a safe journey.
Amen.
I know we all have unspoken requests. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for letting us come out this evening, Lord. Lord, be with the ones that are maybe traveling, Lord. And we've mentioned some that will be traveling on Saturday. Remember, Paul will be traveling, Lord. Let bless him and all will be well. Lord, remember Brother Ray tomorrow for his test. Lord, all will be well there. And remember Brother Dano and them taking care of Hope's car tonight, Lord, just all things will be taken care of when he gets there. Lord, be with the ones that are sick, Lord. We know of many, and we get texts all the time of people. Brother Danny Steeman's grandson, we haven't heard anything about him. But just, Lord, all the ones that you know of, that we know of, Lord, that need a touch from you, come down and bless them and be with them. Forgive us for all of our sins, and we love you for your many blessings. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You be seated.
Good evening. I'm in the Red Book this evening, singing number 171, The Uncloudy Day. Amen. Oh, they tell me of a home far beyond the skies. Oh, they tell me of home far away. Oh, they tell me of a home where no storms, clouds rise. Oh, they tell me of an uncloudy day. Oh, the land of cloudless day. Oh, the land of an uncloudy sky. Oh, they tell me of a home far beyond the sky. Oh, they tell me of an uncloudy day. Tell me of a home where the friends have gone. Oh, they tell me of a land far away, where the tree of life in eternal bloom sheds its fragrance in the uncloudy day. Oh, the land of cloudless day. Oh, the land of an old cloudy sky. Oh, they tell me of a home where no storms, clouds rise. Oh, they tell me of an uncloudy day. Tell me of a king and his beauty there. And they tell me that my eyes shall behold, where he sits on the throne that is whiter than snow, in that city that is made of gold. Oh, the land of cloudless day. Oh, the sky. Oh, they tell me of a home where no storm clouds rise. Oh, they tell me of an uncloudy day. Oh, they tell me he smiles on his children there, and his smiles that drives their sorrows away. And they tell me that no tears will come again in that lonely, loving, uncloudy day. Oh, the land of cloudless day. Oh, the land of an uncloudy sky. Oh, they tell me of a home where no storm clouds rise. Oh, they tell me of an uncloudy day. Amen. 158. Hold to God's unchanging hand this evening. Amen. Time is filled with swift transition. Not of earth unmoved can stand. Build your hopes on things eternal. Oh, to God's unchanging hand. Let's all stand this evening. Singing, oh, to God's unchanging hand. Oh, to God's unchanging hand. Hopes on things eternal. Oh, to God's unchanging hand. Trust in Him who will not leave you. Whatsoever years may bring, if by earthly friends forsaken, still more closely to Him cling. I'm singing, hold to God's unchanging hand. Yes, Lord. Hold to God's unchanging hand. On things eternal. Oh, to God's unchanging hand. Covet not this world's vain riches that so rapidly decay. Even the heavenly treasures, they will never pass away. I'm singing, hold to God's unchanging hand. Amen. Hold to God's unchanging hand. On things eternal. Hold to God's unchanging hand. Listen to this. When your journey is completed, amen. If to God you have been true, fair and bright your home in glory. You're in rapture, so will you. Think about that. I'm singing, hold to God's unchanging hand. Yes, Lord. Reach out. Oh, to God's unchanging hand. Build your hopes on things eternal. Hold to God's unchanging hand. Brother Mark, you'll come. We'll take up our tithes, gifts, and offerings. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. 224. Amen. If you would pray for Sterling, he's on the road traveling in from Hilton Head or about to leave anyway. Amen. Each step I take, Savior goes before me, and with his loving hand, he leads away. And with each breath, I whisper, I adore thee. Oh, what joy to walk with him each day. Each step I take, I know that he will guide me to higher ground. He ever leads me on until someday the last step will be taken. Each step I take just leads me closer home. At times I feel my faith begins to waver, when up ahead I see a chasm wide. It's then I turn and look up to my Savior. I am strong when he is inside. Each step I take, I know that he will guide me to higher ground. He ever leads me on until someday that last step will be taken. Each step I take just leads me closer home. I trust in God no matter come what may, for life eternal is in his word. He holds a key that opens up the way that will lead me to that promised land. Each step I take, I know that he will guide me higher ground. He ever leads me on until someday that last step will be taken. Each step I take just leads me home, home. Amen. That's a walk out of here. Amen. That's the last step, the crossover. Amen. Only Jesus can satisfy my soul this evening. number 97. Sing this for my mother-in-law. She just loves this song. The world will try to satisfy that longing in your soul. You may search the wide world o'er, but you will be just as before. You'll never find true satisfaction until found the Lord, for only Jesus can satisfy your soul. Let's all stand. Only Jesus can satisfy your soul, and only He can change your heart and make you whole. He'll give you peace you never knew, sweet love and joy, and heaven too, for only Jesus can satisfy your soul. If you could have the fame and fortune, all the wealth you could obtain, yet you have not Christ within, your living here would be in vain. There come a time when death shall call you, riches cannot help you then. So come to Jesus, for only He can satisfy. Only Jesus can satisfy your soul, and only He can change your heart and make you whole. He'll give you peace you never knew, sweet love and joy, and heaven too, for only Jesus can satisfy your soul. Let's change over the service, amen. Give Brother Dale a little extra time this evening. I came to hear the word, amen. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see You. I want to see You. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see You. I want to see
Amen.
You. To see You high and lifted up,
shining in the light of Your glory. Amen. Pour out Your power and love as we say, holy, holy. Shining in the light of Your glory, pour out Your power and love as we sing, holy, holy, amen. Holy, 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 hold glory, rise. Holy, holy, I want to see You.
Amen and amen and amen. I want to see Him, don't you? Amen. Good to see everybody in the house of the Lord. If you'd like to turn in your scriptures, we have about three to read. We'll read from Ephesians 1, Philippians 2, and Jeremiah 1. So we'll have these three scriptures, but we'll bring them on the board and read them. We're glad to have our visitors with us. we say to you, if you've been here before, you done got a welcome. But if not, then if you first time here, we say to you, welcome. Second time you come, you're just part of us because we don't have anything to join up with. We're just a part of the body of Christ. But good to see each one. And also, and, remember the announcements that have been made. Let's see. We will try to get in August the 1st, which will be the Bible study on the Saturday, okay? August the 1st, I think that's right. Then August the 2nd, we'll be back in our regular services and things, and we'll be having our communion, getting everything back in rotation to where we've been before and trying to get it all to do it. So remember these things. Just pray the Lord would bless. Ephesians 1. Father, we thank you for this day and your grace and your love. We thank you for an opportunity to be able to come together tonight and just talk about you. We ask you that you'd have your way with each one of us, forgive our sins, cleanse us of all unrighteousness, and help us to walk into you. And Lord, just bless each one. Remember the sick ones among us and just touch each one, Brother Al, Brother Dale, Sister Mary, and all of the different ones, Lord, that are sick among us. And just we ask you to just fulfill your attributes that you had for healer. And that's not a hard thing to ask because that's what you wanted to do. Just make manifest in this day and hour around the country. Let your little bride gather in Goshen that she'll be safe from all of these plagues and things that are falling and gathering there in your word and that we can walk in the light of your grace. We love you and we thank you and we commit it all to you now in Jesus' name. Amen. Hope you enjoyed this past weekend. I really did. I had a good time and all hoping you did. Okay, Ephesians. We've been reading this for a while, but we're going to try to place it together if we can. So we'll go to Ephesians 1. We'll just read 3 and 4. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him, who? In Christ, before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. All right, now let's go to Philippians. Philippians. I'm going to try to pick this up and bring the thought together out of Philippians 2:5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself to be of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of man. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Amen. Okay, we want to go to Jeremiah, see if we can tie all these scriptures together. Jeremiah 1, verse 4 and 5. He said, then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou comest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee and ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. You may be seated. The Lord add his blessing to the reading of the word. Amen. So I want to try to get into our thought that we've been in for a while and, you know, covering it to where that we can see the word of the Lord as it's made manifest in our day. All right. So if we're kind of a little to the company, just bear with us and think about what we're trying to say. We've been talking about for quite about 4 services, it's a 5th service, talking on predestination, all right? And we went through a lot of things covering it, you know, and knowing that in this hour it's a great doctrinal issue of predestination of the, among the denominational world. And things, and we went through trying to open up their eyes or our eyes to understanding, and how that we can see that we use Calvinism and Arminianism as the two thoughts of the religious world to come forth, and you know they both try to preach salvation, but they have a different way each one to express in their thoughts. Well, we're not trying to differ with nobody, but trying to get a better understanding. The world is divided pretty well in the point of predestination because some people believe that you're predestinated, you know, That's it. If God's seen me saved, I'll be saved, so I don't have to worry about it. But if he didn't, then I'll just be lost. Well, now that's taking the one side of the view, but what about the other side of the view to where that you can say, well, I sought after God. He chose me. He accepted me. And I gave my life to him to, you know, to become a Christian and trying to get things into the correct order. But now, what have we been trying to do? God's thoughts are eternal. He doesn't add to or take away from his thoughts. So his thoughts are eternal. Now, what he thought of is not always eternal. Because he thought of a world. It's not eternal. He thought of all kinds of things. He thought of a lot of people coming into the world. And they will never receive eternal life because, you know, that's the point. But he thought of them. Now, just because he thought of you, you say, well, I'm glad to think about the fact that God thought of me before the world ever begun, because we read there where we were chosen in him who in Jesus Christ the Word before the foundation of the world. All right. And then reading Jeremiah to where he'd say, you know, I knew thee, foreordained thee before the foundation of the world and all like that. Then we say, well, everything is said on that. And one group says everything is predetermined, because that's what predestination says. If something is predetermined. All right? Right. Now, see, then if you go on the point of predetermined, you're going to run aground in your scriptures. But if you'll go with the truth of understanding what it really is. So he said those who he foreknew, he did predestinate. All right. So then predestination comes into view in a simple form of being the foreknowledge of God. God foreknew. Now, if he didn't foreknow, then he's not God. You know, if he doesn't have the ability to be able to foreknow all things, it wouldn't be that he would be God. He'd be just like me and you. And he'd be trying to change things and do things different. But foreknowledge, is the knowledge before of what it is, the fact that foreknowledge then comes into view to where that God could look back. Now, I saw this on something the other day, and I was thinking, well, I'd like to talk to that guy for a little bit. But he was talking about foreknowledge and predestination in his doing. But what he was saying was, he said, does God's foreknowledge go forward or backward? You know. And I said, well, in my thoughts, you know, if his foreknowledge is eternal, then it's true that it can go just as far back as it can go forward. You say, no, no, he just thought about this here. No. No, if you're talking about an eternal God with foreknowledge, then what would be the difference in going back that way and going that way? Because it's going to come in a circle. And it's all going to come together one day to where the past, present, and future is all going to come into one point. Right? So then when we think about predestination as being that God stamped it, predetermined it, if we're going to be saved, we're going to be saved. But if we're going to be lost, we're going to be lost. Well, now, where would that be leaving? What would you be doing by foreknowledge then? You set yourself in a destiny form to think about, well, I can't change it. Why me try to? Well, see, that goes into the doctrinal ideas of mankind of predestination. But if you go to the point of foreknowledge, amen, and think about foreknowledge as being first. Yep. Now, if you think of predestination, that God predestinated something, be careful, because you'd be predetermining. Right? Right? Yep. You'd be predetermining the destination, and mankind would have nothing to do with it. All right. You say, well, our salvation, Brother Dale, is of the Lord. It is, right? But you've got to accept it.
Amen.
You've got to believe it.
Amen.
All right. What's wrong with it? See, foreknowledge then could go just as far forward as it does backward, because it's foreknowledge of God.
Amen. That's right.
All right. But if you set it on a destiny basis, which is what the word predestination means, means a destiny set. All right? Then if you put it on a destiny set, then how can the Word of God come together to give us an understanding? All right? Now, let me do this before we start, because I've read these, and just let me give you, because we believe that God sent us a prophet, and also we just read and do. But see, we believe in this. This is what I believe, because it's what the prophet believed, and I believe what the Bible said, because it's what I just quoted. Those who he foreknew, he did predestinate. So foreknowledge is the dealing of what we need to do, and then we can see a destiny can be set by God's foreknowledge. All right? Foreknowledge then has to come first. All right? I've emphasized that over to you for week after week. Foreknowledge has to be first. Because if it's predestination first, then you're predetermining. I don't care what you got to say, you're predetermining it. All right? But see, foreknowledge then, predestination, is the destiny that you're going to. And see, if that come first, then it'll be back here. But see, God's foreknowledge lets him see and sets your destiny because of his foreknowledge of the choice he knows you'll make. All right? So what is it? Predestination then looks back to foreknowledge. Foreknowledge sets back here and looks all the way through until it can make a complete circle to tie us back to eternity.
Amen. That's right.
All right. See, then predestination is not a bad word if you understand it by saying that it's by foreknowledge. All right. But if you understand it, that the foreknowledge has to be first. Do you understand my point?
Right.
If you say predestination comes first, no, foreknowledge.
Amen.
Right. True. That's right.
Because if predestination comes first, your destiny was determined before you got here.
Yeah. Right.
You would not have a choice of salvation.
That's right. That's right.
But by foreknowledge, he could see and set the destiny.
Right.
And it would come out to be, so what is it doing then?
Amen.
Predestination is a great thing to look back to the point of God's foreknowledge. Because see, what I want you to see, if you don't get nothing out of the message, I want you to get a wonderful thought in your mind if you could. You know, if you can pound the predestination and make it to where that you can say, well, it's this, it's that, it's that. You know, if I was meant to be saved, I'll be saved. I wouldn't, I won't. If you get all that out of your mind and get down to the fact, we were chosen in him.
Amen. That's right.
But why did he choose us?
Yep, that's right.
Amen. Come on.
That's right.
You don't hear that talked about. Why did he choose us? He had to have some reason.
Amen.
For choosing us.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah.
Now we know for goodness, and God help us to understand, that it can't be something good that we are. Because the Bible says there's none good, no, not one. It can't be that way. But it has to be based upon some way for God to have it, to set a destiny. He has to set that destiny by knowing the choice and what it was. And he knew that before the world ever begun. See? He said, well, then do we have a choice? We have the choice. But remember, he chose us. All right? That's fine. But remember, you must accept the choice.
Amen.
You didn't choose him. We didn't come into this world trying to choose God. And we weren't searching for him. It was him searching for us. Right? It wasn't God in the garden, Adam running around hollering God. It was God in the garden trying to find Adam. You know? All right? If we get it all straight, it'll come out to a beautiful picture. Then we can see the Bible unfold all the way through. All right? And then see, then, do you understand what I'm saying? Then predestination cannot be your first thought of line. You have to have the thought of line as foreknowledge. Because if not, you are going to predetermine. See, but if you put it foreknowledge, and let him see what you will do. Right? Then you can talk about predestination. Okay? Now, here's a thought I want you to consider for a moment as we get to that point. God's thoughts are eternal, right? He can never have a new thought. All right? But as I said now, everything he thought of is not eternal. So don't get tied up into all of that. Well, I'm glad I was, you know, a thought in his mind. You can be a thought in his mind of Satan was a thought in God's mind. Right? He thought of Satan and all he would do. So don't go that line. Get back onto the straight line of trying to follow it. But I want to just ask you a simple question. This is the burden that's been on my heart all this week to try to express something to you. Does God change his mind about his word? Now don't answer because you may want to pull back your answer a little later because of the approach that I'll take. Does God ever change his mind about his word? He said, no, because if he ever has a thought, okay. If he ever has a thought, that thought's eternal. But that don't make everything eternal just because he thought of it. Keep that in your mind and listen to what I'm talking about. See, there in the Bible, there was a man one time, I think his name was Hezekiah, was a king or something, and a prophet went up and told him that thus saith the Lord, set your house in order, you're going to die.
That's right.
Yes, sir. All right. He prayed, cried out before God, and I've got even where the prophet said the people loved him and they prayed, yep. Cried out, and God sent the same prophet back and told him that I'm going to give you 15 years.
Right.
Well, did he change his mind? Did he change his mind, or did his mind come into view? Now, you say by predestination, that man was predetermined because God sent a prophet to him to tell him, thus saith the Lord, you will not, or you're going to die. And he prayed. And God came down and said, I'll give you 15 years. Did God change his mind? Well, it looks like he did. But how can he change his mind when his mind is his word and his word's eternal?
Right.
See? Think about it. You ever thought about it? I was looking there a little bit, and I know Brother Branham uses it 52 times where he speaks of the fact that prayer changes things. See, now, if we put everything on a predetermined factor, like I told you, when you got into the Arminian, was in the Arminian and Calvinism doctrinal issues back in time, it got back there so set with people about predestination until they would not have a revival. Because they was afraid that their children might get saved. Now I'm quoting from the book. Now not my I'm reading it of what they said. They were afraid that their children might get saved when God might not want them saved. He said, now how dumb could anybody be? Well, let me say it this way. If you don't give your family a chance or people around you a chance,
right.
What are you setting it on?
That's right.
You know, what are you setting it on? Is this thing set and predetermined to be a certain way, or is it by God's foreknowledge that he knows how it will be? Which way? If you set it to the basis that it's got to be that way, then let's go home. We're wasting time. You know, let's forget it. No. It's not based that way, then, is it? Did he change his mind when that man was doing? Now, by predestination, that would say the destiny was set by the word of the prophet that said, thus saith the Lord, set your house in order, you're going to die. That meant, by God's predestination, if you're going to put it in that form, then that man had to die. Then he sent the same prophet. How would you like to have been that prophet? How would you like to be the prophet? Might wind up like Brother Branham did that time when he told that girl it was thus saith the Lord she was going to live. And she told her mom the next morning or something she was dying. She was going home. She died. Even Brother Branham didn't understand it. He went before God and told him. He said, you owe me an explanation. He said he let me pout it out about 3 months, and he come to me and told me what the story was. Said, now you remember the girl said she was drowning in a outing they were having. She'd got in the river and was drowning. And they pulled her out of there and laid her on the bank, and she was probably dead, you know, as far as by looking at her and all, but, you know, by the time they got through with getting the water out of her and time, she raised up. She lived a year longer. The girl that he was saying, telling that she was going to live. He said, I gave her time to make up her mind. Well, how are you going to put that in your predetermined factor? I ask you, how can you put that in a predetermined factor? See, you cannot do it. That's what I'm saying. But how would you like to have been the prophet that went down there and said, set your house in order, for thus saith the Lord, you're going to die. He goes off and he's gone for a little while, and he's over praying, and God comes down to him and says, go back over and tell him. And I'm going to give him 15 years. Now, here's my point. If you don't get nothing else out of the message, we can just go on. Get the point of what I've been driving at. Which comes first, predestination or foreknowledge? See? By predestination of a predetermined factor, you cannot fit that scripture. You would have to say it looked like God changed his mind. But did he? What about your prophet saying prayer changes things?
Yes, sir.
You mean everything is so predetermined, set on a factor that everything is just set and this is the way it's going? Well, what are we worried? Let's go home. Forget it. But by believing in foreknowledge being first, and then God, by that foreknowledge, could foresee and follow all the way through and see the destiny.
Amen.
Now listen. That king was told, set your house in order, for thus saith the Lord, you're going to die. You know what? God didn't change his mind. That man died. 15 years later. Right?
Amen.
Come on. So did God change his mind, or was his mind in the view? Did God know before the world what that man was going to do? Did he know before the world that he would send the prophet and tell him to get in order, he's going to die, but yet he would come back and send the same prophet and tell him he was going to live? You see? If you approach it by foreknowledge, you can see. That God by foreknowledge sat back and saw, and he knew, he sent that prophet, he knew he would go down there. But he knew he would turn around and extend the man 15 years onto his life, but the man would eventually die.
Right.
So it never broke the word.
That's right.
The prophet's word was right.
Amen.
Set your house in order, for thus saith the Lord, you're going to die.
That's right. That's right.
Why did it matter how long it took? He gave him 15 years. There's no way that our God changed his mind. He didn't change his mind and give him another way. Because his mind was not set that way. His mind was set on the basis that by foreknowledge, he could foresee what that man was going to do and what he was going to do. He could then predetermine it to be that the man would eventually die. The prophet's words was right.
Amen.
You understand what I'm talking about? When the prophet told that girl that she was going to live. The next morning she died. Did God change his mind? No. See, that's one of the things the prophet emphasized, that we think predestination is just us pushed, put in a pipe and push us through the other end, and we come out some way and we have no choices to make. That's not right.
Amen.
That's what he said. I've read these to you. He said, that's not right.
Amen.
But see, by foreknowledge, he could sit back and see what you and I are going to do. He could see you, everybody sitting here today.
Amen.
See, I didn't know the brother and sister was going to be here. I didn't know, you know, I could kind of guess on maybe a lot of you to be here tonight, but there's a brother and sister there with us tonight. Glad to have them. I didn't know that. Back there, another little boy especially. Back there with a sister. I said, I didn't know that. But see, God knew it before the world ever begun. His thoughts are eternal. But remember the point. What he thought of is not always eternal. Does he change his mind? No, he doesn't have to change his mind. His mind was set before the world. You think God didn't sit back before the world ever begun and look down and see that Hezekiah king and see what he would do, but see that he would have to send that prophet right back to him?
Amen.
But he would turn and see him to die later on after 15 years. So he didn't change his mind. See, this whole thing is set on the basis of not by predestination, by a foreknowledge point of what we're going to do or not going to do. It's a foreknowledge.
That's right.
God determines by you and I, see, not his will that anybody, it's not the will of God that anybody be lost.
Right?
He wanted everybody saved. The same price paid for everybody. But then those who he foreknew would want him. Then that one that would do it, that would determine the destiny. See, no, we want to put it because we want some kind of a something. We're great seeds or some kind of a something that we are. We're something special. Ain't nothing in this building special for nothing but just destruction. You take what you want to and that you think is good. Like I've always said, they run a thing one time, you know, there's a joke about it, but I told them they run a thing one time to try to find out about the Dales. Did they come over here on the Mayflower? You know, everybody, my family come over on the Mayflower. Mine did too. Stowaway horse thieves in the back of one of the boats. Connie. You see, it ain't nothing no good about any of us. And I'm sure glad God's not looking at what we do and don't do. But that man, that king, had a desire in his heart. Sure, we know. Okay, come on. All we know is the stories a lot of times. We take the Bible stories and we bring out what we want. You don't hear people bring out about him being that would actually change the point of what was taking place. All you hear out of the man there, the king, is what? Well, he ought to die. Because he got 15 years, and he did. He wound up being a rascal, a bad king, and should have died. Yes, the world would have been, the children of Israel would have been better off had he died 15 years prior to then. Because he turned out to be a rascal. But that's all we look at. We look at something like that and think that's a great revelation. Instead of looking to the fact of seeing that that man actually touched God. God didn't change his mind, but he touched God. Prayer changes things. Come on, if I didn't believe it that way, what would the prophet say one day? He said, if you ain't got enough faith for, let's see, for to believe for your children, he said, I doubt you've got enough for your own self. Uh-oh. Did you get that one?
Amen.
If you ain't got enough to believe for your children, and them lost and going on into the world and doing.
Yep.
Come on. Somebody prayed for you.
Amen.
Right. Amen.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
Thank you, Jesus.
Right?
Amen.
Somebody prayed for you.
Amen.
It might have been great, great grandma. Right? Might have been somebody you never knew or nothing. But they were praying for their descendants.
Amen.
Yes.
You ever had God to speak to you about it? I've always prayed for my children. Prayed, God save my children.
Amen.
One day he spoke to me, he said, you'll be there with your offspring. He gave me the scripture. So what did I do? I didn't quit praying. Because
right.
They still ain't all in yet. I keep praying, but I'm praying for him to fulfill his word now.
That's right.
Amen.
Because he told me. Well, see, we don't want to get into those things. But what about the Dalton family when the prophet turned to them and said, "All of your children will be saved, one after the other." They all came to the Lord. Maybe we're not praying correctly. Sure, we've prayed here. We've prayed this away. We've prayed, God, you come down. We pray seriously because it's supposed to be. We pray, God, come down and do what you got to do to bring my family in.
Amen. Amen.
Put them in the hospital.
Yep. Amen.
Did the prophet say that about Billy Paul when he went to the hospital? He was laying up in the hospital bed and he said, Daddy, pray for him. He said, you sin, you pray. Right? Is that supposed to be the story?
Right.
Whether it was true or not, I still believe it. Because
right.
I believe that's the way he'd talk.
Yeah.
Right.
He said, you pray because you've sinned.
Yep.
See, predestination, we try to set the destiny of something without knowing anything about the foreknowledge that precedes all of that.
Right.
And not looking back. I mean, I'm 80 years old. Time goes on, I'm going to die. Right? I don't think I'm going to live to be 100 because I'm not worried about it. But you just get the point of what I'm talking about. I ain't looking forward to it, but I just know the fact that it's going to creep up on some of us.
Right?
Well, all right. But see, I ain't depending on that away. That's a destiny. I'm looking back to where I come from. That's a foreknowledge.
Yes.
See, that's what I've been driving to you about. That's what the prophet would say. He'd say, predestination looks back to foreknowledge.
Right.
He said, and foreknowledge looks to destiny. Well, now listen to what I'm talking about and you'll get it. See, predestination, we look that away. Foreknowledge, we look that away. Well, you know what, who was it taught it? It's in school anyhow. Einstein said that if you had infinite, or how do you say that? Unlimited eyesight. And you looked out like that. You know what you'd see? The back of your head. Because everything's in a circle. Einstein could see that. Brother Brennan said, I'd like to got a hold of him and talk to him about that finite universe. Remember the word infinite, finite? I get that all messed up. You put it in the right place because you got the education. I don't. But listen. Then why do we want to go with predestination to try to find a destiny? Why not go to foreknowledge to see? Then I can go all the way back around and come right back around and be standing there. Because foreknowledge would go just as far that way as it goes that way. See, we want a foreknowledge of something behind us. God don't look behind us. I'm glad of that. Oh, when he went down there and old Balaam went over there and said, look here, look what they're doing. Look at the hinder parts. Look at all the things that's taking place. Trying to remind God of it. Amen. He said, I see no problem in Israel. Amen. Now that's wonderful, wasn't it?
Amen.
He was telling him the truth.
Right.
And he's showing him the Bible says the hinder parts, so it must have been the bad things. And he said, I don't see that.
Amen.
You know why? Because he failed to see the shout of the king that was in the camp of the children of Israel. See? Prayer changes things.
Amen.
You know what? It changed me from a sinner to a saint.
Amen.
You don't think like that?
Amen.
It changed you from a sinner to a saint.
Amen.
Well, that was just meant. No, that wasn't just meant to be.
That's
what I said. We want the things that we can play with in our mind. So when we start talking like that, people say, yeah, but God chose me. God chose me. Well, amen. Well, if he chose me, I didn't have nothing to do with it. Now, wait a minute. You got to accept it. Pardon's not a pardon. Unless received as a pardon, am I right? Won't bring you out of jail unless you accept what the pardon says. See, we look at something and we want it our way. And we can only handle that one wording, one thing. And that's why I tried back there to emphasize over and over. Sure, God chose us. But you know what I like about it? There was some reason. You don't think that away?
Amen.
I ain't talking about how good or how bad I was or what I was this, that, or the other. Because I can quote the prophet. The more flaws are the one that are, you know, he picked a Moses and look what he done. He picked this one and look what he done. Picked Abraham, he lied. And look what he done. It's what I've always tried to get you to look at and you won't do it. You want to get onto some kind of a seed doctrine and follow a line. Esau was a way younger, better man than Jacob was. Let's talk about the Bible. Esau was a greater man than Jacob was. God said, I love Jacob and I hate Esau. There's no such thing as a word in God anywhere to have a word of hate. So what's he saying? I dislike his ways. What was the difference between Jacob and Esau? Anybody want to get up and take it? Tell me the good that Jacob done. Esau was a way under better guy. But there Jacob was stealing everything he could get. But even after doing all of that, that God would come down. And when Jacob is coming back, he sends his family because he says he's going to kill me. I'll just give him everything I got, and maybe it'll appease him or something. Esau comes walking toward him, and he thinks, I'm going to die. And Esau just throws down everything and reaches and grabs him and hugs him, said, my brother. Jacob says, take all of this. He said, I got more than you got. See, we want it on some kind of a way of something. We try to make it, if it don't work with grace, we try to go over onto something we did do or didn't do. That's why I use that over and over and over about Calvinism. Calvinism believes or teaches basics of Calvinism that if there's just a certain people that are to be saved, that everybody is not to be saved. That's Calvinistic teaching. But Arminian said he gives it for everybody. Well, we know everybody ain't going to be saved. But it ain't because of God and his ways. Oh, when I first read that, and when I found in a church age book and started reading, when that prophet started talking about that African, and I'm not throwing off on races or anything, you know better than that. But there they were, those people that never heard of Jesus Christ in any way. But God is going to judge them according to how they live by their own laws. You ever thought you could hear that out of a Baptist? No. Cause we was them Baptists. I ain't throwing off on the Baptists, just telling it like it is. We were them Baptists that always said, you gotta be born again. Cause if you ain't born again, you ain't going. Well, we can stand here and talk all night about a Jew that comes down through there that never accepted Jesus Christ, but they're given eternal life one day. Is that on his predestination? Or is it on his foreknowledge? That was his children. That was his people. That he put them in bondage and out of the way to bring you and I in.
Amen.
Amen. The root, their church roots is Jewish.
Amen.
Oh, you don't want to hear that thought, right? The foundation of all of our religious belief is Jewish. Because they were the chosen of God.
Amen.
That's why you don't hear me throwing off on none of these things. But which do you want? You want foreknowledge or you want predestination? There's one thing about it. If it's about foreknowledge, then I know one thing for sure. I've been in on this thing.
Amen.
I don't know where you understand what I mean by that. But I've lived life. How about you? And I sure ain't lived a life to where he could accept me. So don't get that in your mind. I've lived a life to the point that he didn't need to accept me because that's what I like about it. Paul, the greatest of all and the purity that man was living by the laws and the thing. And he said, you know, no mark against me. He said, but I'm the chiefest of sinners. What about a man like that you couldn't put a mark against his life? He was in training to be a high priest or a lawyer or whatever, coming down. What about it? High priest couldn't have a mark against him. None whatsoever. He'd die if he did. See, I'd rather face it on the basis of not trying to appease God to where he would make a choice of me nowhere. Because I don't want the choice to be made because of what I would do or what I wouldn't do. I want the choice to be done because he's my daddy.
Amen. That's right. Amen.
See, I never had a daddy because daddy died when I was 4 years old. But you see, I never had nobody to stand in that place as a daddy. Had brothers and things. But one day I found my daddy.
Amen.
Or he found me.
Amen.
That's more like it.
That's right.
And he gave me a choice. I was a deacon at 23 years of age. Anybody knows that 50 years ago you didn't make a deacon out of a 23-year-old kid? That's too much. Forget it. I understood that. But there I was, 23 years old, an ordained deacon in a Baptist church. Because I served and tried to do everything I could to serve God and all. I didn't have to come in the message and quit this and quit that. It was already gone. That's what I've tried to tell you. But predestination. Does God change his mind about his word? Or did he sit back before the world and see what he would do?
Amen.
And when he come to that king, he said, okay, O king, I'll give you 15 years. Your prayer, sincerity, honesty. He didn't give it to everybody, so it must have been something about the man that was good. Now, here's what I'm going to try to get to you. Could it actually be that God is looking at your desires and my desires instead of looking at his own? Because I can prove he's not looking at his. But see, we want to take that then, and we want to make it to, Brother Dale, I know you're right, you didn't drink, smoke, and this, that, and the other, and all. But I did. Well, what, so what? So what that you'd say? Well, I'm not as good as other people. Where does God put it on goodness? That's what I've tried to prove to you. God should have went with Esau. Because Esau was the greater man. You tell me in the garden, Cain and Abel. Oh, that old Cain, he was a serpent seed. Oh, that's it. And what was he? God offered him salvation, said, would you not be accepted had you done like your brother?
That's right. That's right.
Now, if he offered it to him, then there's one thing about it. God would be a respecter of persons if he didn't give it to him if he wanted it.
Right.
Now, that's as straight as I can make it.
Amen.
If you wanted it, it's there for you.
Amen.
If you want salvation and not children, it's there for you.
Right.
It's not something that we try to make ourselves to be some great big seed doctrine or idea. If I was born with a seed enemy, I'll be all right because I'll make it. Where was the seed? It was put there before the foundation of the world, according to the Bible, because he foreknew us before the world.
Amen.
He died before the world that you and I could be saved.
Amen.
We're going to get into Christ, the mystery of God revealed. I've asked you to read that because we want to get into it. Where the prophet said God had in the back part of his mind a plan and a purpose that he was going to achieve. Yes, but Brother Dale, ever since we've been around you, we've always paid attention to you. You don't like these seed doctrines. I don't like seed doctrines that goes the wrong way. I know there was no seed in me. If it was, where was that at? Now, come on. Predetermining or foreknowledge. Where was that seed at? Where is it now? It's in your soul by the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Right? If there's any seed at all, I don't want no seed in this body. Don't want no seed in my spirit realm.
Nope.
It's got to be in my soul.
That's right.
All right. Now try to take that back before the foundation of the world. Or take it forward to a predetermined.
Yeah.
You see, that's the point that we're doing.
Right.
We're trying to make things out of the Bible instead of letting it be what it is.
That's right.
This message never come to bring us a new Bible. When I started reading this message, I started reading it. I read the Bible before then. I started reading this message. I couldn't find no difference. Because I could find the same God talking to me that was talking to me when I was in the Baptist church. Well, why look forward? Come on. You say, oh boy, one of these days I'm going to be a millionaire. One of these days I'm going to be rich. He'd be kind of like the guy was at what? He got the newspaper a day ahead of time and man, he could just tell everything going to take place. He could bet on every horse race. He could do everything because he had the newspaper a day ahead of time. Fictional story, but it tells the truth. He was really having a wonderful time until he read one day and he turned to the obituary and found out he died the day before. Okay? What good is it? Millionaire, billionaire. What good is it? There was a time when we were in school talking about things like that. I did go to a little bit. But we talked about what it would be, and they said back then, I forgot what it was, and if I get it wrong, you put it wrong, but it was somewhere like a 10 by 10 or a 12 by 12 room. That if you put $1 million bills, it would fill that up. Because that's what everybody thought. Nobody could ever get to be a millionaire. I mean, we never thought about being a millionaire, right? Because they was telling how much it would just stack it up, and it would cover a... Well, see, now $1 million don't mean nothing. You can have $1 million today and be broke as can be tomorrow just by pass of a law. A billionaire. But there's one thing about it. You'd say, well, that'd be my destiny one day to be a billionaire. No, my destiny is to find out who I was and how I got here. That's my destiny. That's the thing that thrills my soul, is to be able to look back and see what he done for me.
Amen.
Huh? He wrote our name in the book of life before the foundation of the world.
Amen.
Right?
Yep.
And he didn't predetermine that to come through and be, no, but he foreknew. He foreknew. Okay, listen. Let me take another thought. Because these are the two things. Foreknowledge. Now, you want foreknowledge or you want predestination? Well, I'd like to have the destiny that I know what it's going to be. No, I'm having a wonderful time trying to find what I need. That may come out wrong, but I'm enjoying my life of the fact of what God has led me.
Right.
I know and realize who it was. I saw him when I was 11 years old. You know the story. I saw him standing in that church. I went back by there years later and said, God, I hated that I left there. Because when I left there, you was there in that building. I was 11 years old. Something spoke and said, when you left, I left with you. Well, I don't. It doesn't bother me. Could have been the devil telling me that. I'd even agree with him. Because when I left, I was moving on. I thank God for the journey that I've had. For the opportunities I've had. And listen to me, church. I'm this away. Every pastor that I've ever had, I went to them when I left them and told them how much I appreciated them for what they had done for me in my life and trying to help me in Christianity. And I walked with some good ones. But I thank God. I thank them for helping me. I was sitting there Sunday listening to Brother Minister. And I said, Lord, it's good to hear somebody talk about what you believe.
Amen.
You say, well, do you agree with it? No, now just to get off of that. What does it matter? What I understood, I agreed with. Right? I thought he'd done a good job.
Amen.
Marvelous understanding.
Amen.
All right? I'm not stamping him as the finality of he's this and he's the leader. He's the prophet that was to come. No, I'm just telling it like it is. I enjoyed it.
Amen.
Because he was talking about my daddy.
Yes, sir.
Amen. I love for somebody to talk about daddy because I never had one, so I don't. But then I found my daddy.
Amen.
I found him. When I was in the Baptist church, I went back to the pastor of the church at that time and thanked him for helping me when I left. I left churches in this message. I always go to the pastor and thank him for helping me. Why? Because anybody's ever helped me, I thank God for it. Because there's one thing about it, I couldn't make it by myself. You can't either. That's what you're thinking. You think I made it on my own. No, you didn't make it on your own. You're going to die in your own little pity party house, too. One more thought. What do you think about when you say not foreknowledge? Webster says that means knowledge before. You know, foreknowledge. Those who he foreknew, he predestinated. He foresaw. That's why we read it there in Jeremiah. I knew thee, he said. What about telling Jeremiah that he knew him before the foundation of the world, before he ever come through his mother's womb or anything? He knew him and ordained him to be a prophet.
That's right.
One of these days I'll get to that, to where we're going to preach on predestinated gifts. I've preached a little bit to you, just enough to catch you to think. Predestinated gifts. Malachi 4 was a predestinated gift. Why? Because it was God's word. I don't look at Brother Branham as being God or anything like that. No, but there's one thing about it. The word is what I look at.
Amen.
It is not the person that comes predestinated from God.
Right.
It's the word, our seed.
Amen. Yes, sir.
Amen. The word.
Right.
Yeah. I rejoice in the word that I've been able to hear.
Amen.
Right. Amen. What do you think about foreknowledge? You ever think about foreknowledge as just a simple little word called the mind? I mean, God had foreknowledge, right? So that's, you know what that meant? That meant in his mind, he thought this thing out. You go with me? In his mind, he thought it out. So what is foreknowledge? The mind of God. And like I said there a minute ago, I don't want to be just a thought in God's mind, because sinners are thoughts in God's mind. No, I want to be a part of God's mind. I want his mind, as Paul, as the scripture said, if this mind be in you. The mind there in we gave in the scripture, it's talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. And there he was, that mind. But that's exactly talking about me and you. He has given us his mind.
Amen.
The new birth is the mind of God imparted unto man.
Amen.
No, that's in my soul now, brother. There. Well, what is your soul and what are you?
That's right.
Come on. Are you a Mormon that believes in pre-existence of souls? No. Do we believe in reincarnation of souls, you know, going from one to another? No. See, if the mind that was in Christ be in you, it'll do what? It'll make you a new creature, right?
That's right.
Amen. A new creation, right?
Yes.
To have his mind to come into your mind, not his brain. Not his brain.
Right.
The new birth is not in your brain.
That's
what I was asking the brother when I said, where's it at? Where's the seed at? Is it in your brain? Is it in your body? Is it in your feet? Is it in your hand? Where's it at? He said, I ain't talking to you. I said, well, you don't have nothing to say anyway. Well, because he couldn't do it. What can you say? But we spend our time putting it some seed doctrine, and we just rejoice over, oh, can't you just see that we was back there? We was actually back there.
Yeah.
Now, let me say it the way I mean it. The only way that I can know I was back there is by what I'm doing right now.
Right.
What you are right now is the only thing that can be talked about of being back there. because I'm talking about the soul. Not no bodies back there, not no spirits back there. They asked the prophet, were we spirits? And he said, no. We was in the what? We was in the mind of God. What is the mind of God? The foreknowledge of God. That he was back there before anything, and then we wasn't little bitty identities. They draw it out and make it look beautiful and make you a heart or something and put little dots in it. And people say, oh glory, look at that. I'm one of them little dots. I ain't no little dot.
That's right. Amen.
I'm a person.
Right.
And I put my salvation in Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And he's made me his, he's become my father by a new birth.
That's right. Amen.
So now I know my father. I have my true father.
Right. Amen. That's right.
I can rejoice and say, thank you, Daddy.
Yes.
You don't ever talk to him like that. I heard Billy Paul say one time, he said he went to pick up Brother Branham, said he walked down to the motel or what it was, and said he heard him sitting in there saying, Papa. Papa. You know what? If you're born again this night, you have a papa.
That's right. Amen.
Sure.
That's right.
You have a papa.
Amen.
Because he's your papa. He is.
Amen.
He is what we have need of.
Amen.
Right.
That's not degrading your mom and daddy. No, because if they have the same new birth in their heart, they have the same father.
Amen.
That's right. Amen.
They have the same mother. Who is our mother? The Lord Jesus Christ. You think about it? Were we spirits in? No. We was in the mind of God.
Amen.
Now watch. Were we spirits then? No. We was in the mind of God. There's your foreknowledge. The predetermining would be trying to put you that away. Uh-uh, let's don't go that away. Oh, it's wonderful one day when we get there. It'll be so great we can walk on the streets of gold and we can do all of these things and have a great time and rejoicing over. I'm having a good time now. If you ain't, I'd like to talk to you about my daddy for a while. I'd like to tell you how daddy can tell you. But daddy can tell you like he told me one day. I was down and out. I was just crying and just down and out. And I got in the car and started down the road and met Terrence or Wade one. And they said, where are you going, daddy? I said, I'm going for a ride. I'll be back in a minute. I drove down nearly to Maysville crying about how bad it was. And about that time, a little voice said, who do you think you are? And what do you think this is compared to what I went through?
Amen.
I came back up the road crying my heart out of joy.
Amen.
That he would be willing to associate with me.
Amen.
I can stand here and tell you, and you know that's true. I've done it. I can tell you things where God met with me. But that don't make nothing out of me. That makes something out of my daddy.
That's right.
What is foreknowledge? You get it? It is the mind of God. And it's brought down so far until it comes into your mind. Not your brain mind. Into the mind of your being, which is your soul. And gives eternal life to that soul. And gives you then the very life of Almighty God. There's my daddy. Living now in me, and Paul said, the life that I now live in thee flesh, I live by the faith of thee, Son of God.
Amen.
He said, it's not I that liveth. You see? He said, in the mind. Prayer changes things. I'm not asking God to change his mind. God's secret mystery he had before the world begun. Now back in the back part of God's mind, There was something he was going to do. Back in the back part of his mind. You say, well, that ain't even sensible. It's identically. Any nurses? Oh, come nurse back here. Okay. You got your brain, and I'm not a doctor, but the front part of your brain is your intelligence, your thinking ability. Then you keep going back into subconsciousness and things, and you get back to a real mind. That mind that's there is what's controlling you. And that is the new birth. You got many stages of the human mind. So when the prophet would say, in the back part of God's mind. You know what? We're going to have to get into the back part of his mind to find out what we're talking about. In the back part of his mind is the baptism of the Holy Ghost. See, it goes back to foreknowledge. So, Brother Dale, do you want to go that away or that away? If I had the choice, I'd like to go that away. Back into God's mind. But just remember one thing. Predestination. One more thought. Be careful how you predetermine things. Because you could predetermine yourself out of existence. Now, by foreknowledge, I can make this statement. By predestination, I dare not make it. That what? That God, before the world, had a plan and a purpose to make himself manifest.
Right. Amen.
Not to pick a certain group of people, but they'd be a group of people that would fulfill what he desires.
That's right. Amen.
And it would be able to walk in his mind.
Right.
I preached a sermon here one day and on the cupola years ago. I preached on a word called cupola. And I brought it out, and a cupola is a spherical dome and things like that, sitting on a weather vane, sitting on a church, et cetera, et cetera. Well, to show you how his mind works. And, you know, I went home and I was feeling pretty good. And I was sitting there because I was going to preach that night, 6 o'clock, 6:30. And I said, Lord, that was a pretty good thought, the way you was helping me to bring it out this morning. I really enjoyed it. And the spherical dome. And I said, you know, we could be resurrected and sitting in heavenly places. That kind of dome is not our church. I'm talking about the new birth, resurrected, sitting in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That was a wonderful thought your prophet brought. And then you brought it to me and I brought it to the people. And about that time he said, but that ain't what I'm talking about. And I said, hold on just a minute now. Something was talking. And I knew better to argue what was talking. But I knew I didn't understand what was talking and what was being said. And I said, Lord, what do you mean? He said, that ain't what I was talking about. I knew the brother that translated that worked for the Voice of God recording. He had 12 years of college. I knew I couldn't argue intellectually with him. I said, well, what do you mean, Lord? That all of that was good. But it said, it's not what I'm talking about. I said, okay. I got the tape and I played it. And every time that he would come across, you know, and everybody called it cupola. And I listened. And when he came down to it in that message, he says, he didn't say cupola. He said, copula! Something's turning some cogwheels. He never said cupola. He said copula. I said, well, what can that fit with? Well, it fits with the fact that he was talking about the head and body joining together. Because that was what he's talking about. Go check it in the questions and answers. Find that word cupola. If you can't, I'll find it for you. He was talking about head and body uniting to bring the message in the last days. So he wasn't saying cupola like capping off. So I got back and listened again. I said, okay, now I'm getting some thoughts. Cupola. I said, okay, if it's head and body uniting together, there ain't but one word that I can do. Copulation. Head and body uniting. He was not talking about something up here to coming down. He was talking about head and body. Go get the message and read it. Head and body coming together. Copulation, which is the same as husband and wife, because that was what he was doing. He's teaching us the word of God, and we're becoming one with that. We're in the point of copulation. The understanding of God's word that is making us to be his children, his offspring. Husband and wife. Head and body uniting. I come back crying. Preached another message. Enjoyed it. Well, what do you think? All we need to do is one thing. Listen to the word that's being brought to us. And see if it's uniting us together with a headstone. Or see if it's driving us away. You might see what's taking place. You might see the bride and Christ becoming one. And what did the prophet say? When the bride realizes who she is and what she's here for, he said she'll be an invincible army. Come on, musicians. What is foreknowledge? The mind of God. So in the mind of God, we'll start from there and start bringing a world into existence, bringing life into existence, bringing man into existence, and see his plan and his purpose. And think on these things. Let's stand together. I hope you follow my point. Why do we want to go that way? Let's go back in his mind. Let's go back into his mind. And see if we can come out of there with something. Better than to have a billionaire or a destiny set. Then we can see that God does change his mind. Not change his mind, not he was going to do this, but he changes and does this. He knew before the world he was going to do that. I hope you follow that. He knew before the world ever begun that he was going to give that man 15 years. So he didn't change his mind about his word. He told him he's going to die. He gave him 15 years. He died. He didn't change his mind. He fulfilled his mind. What do we got, brother? Go
ahead. Radiant in the red book. We shall see the King as he is.
Yeah. Amen.
There's a blessing
that's coming, coming soon. It may be evening, morning, or at noon.
We shall see the King. We shall see the King. We shall see the King when he comes. He's coming in power. Oh, hail the blessed hour. We shall see the King when he comes. Are you ready? Should the Savior call today? Would Jesus say, well done or go away? My home is for the pure, the vow could
never stay. We shall see the King when he comes. We shall see the King. We shall see the King.
Do you know him?
We shall see the King.
Is the mind of Christ in you?
He's coming in power.
Then look where the foreknowledge that you come from. For some reason, God chose you. Can't be for goodness. None of us are good. For some reason. For some reason, he chose Jacob. And what was that reason? Jacob had his eyes on that birthright. That was all he wanted, was the birthright. Because the birthright was a type of the baptism of the Holy Ghost. That should be our desires tonight. It's for nothing else but the baptism of the Holy Ghost to come and live within us and bring his mind into us in the being of his person and living in us. Think about him. His plan and his purpose has been revealed to man. Been revealed to mankind. Think on these things. Let's sing one more, then we'll go away.
When the redeemed are gathering in this evening, amen. Kid G. Mm-hmm. 15, the red book.
I am thinking of a rapture in the blessed home on high.
When the redeemed are gathering in,
that will raise the heavenly anthem in that city in the sky.
Go back into his mind. Come out of there. Walking in Christ. Not exalting yourself or your thoughts or ideas, but come out of there realizing what he's done for you.
Over on the streets of every day, our gathering in. Oh, what music, oh, what singing, oh, that city will be roaring when the redeemed are gathering in. Oh, when the redeemed are gathering in. Oh, my gosh, my soul, every walks in.
You have a need? Come and let's see. Let's see if God lives. He's allowed these plagues to come on us. But he didn't go somewhere else. He just come right here. And free from
sin. I will shout, I will sing, when the redeemed are gathering in.
You know, back a few years ago, we had an incident that took place here, and I think of it. And this brother, he used to sit right along in here, Brother Arline. He come to me one day and he said, Brother Dale, he said, the pillar of fire is in the church moving around. He said, I've seen it here, seen it there, seen it here, seen it there, seen it over you at the pulpit. Said, mainly over the pulpit area. I said, Brother, don't tell nobody. He said, well, man, we ought to tell everybody. I said, don't tell nobody. I said, let's see what it's doing. He kept coming. He said, but Brother Dale, I see it. He said, it's hanging around at the pulpit. I said, okay. We still ain't going to tell nobody.
He came to me one day and he said, Brother Dale, said, I saw it. Said the pillar of fire was leaving the pulpit area and going out in the congregation. Now, that's what I'm just telling it. You know. I said, now we'll tell the people. Because, see, a couple of brothers misunderstood that, I think, and they said the pillar of fire was going out the door. I said, no, you're wrong. I said, because I ain't never had but one desire. The pillar of fire on the platform, I said, don't tell nobody. I don't have to have that. Don't tell nobody. Yeah, but you ought to tell it where they can rejoice now. If you can't rejoice over the word, then you can't rejoice over what you see. But I said, the one thing that I've always wanted was for what's in my heart to be in your heart. That's always been my desire. For what's in my heart about this word and what God is doing and revealing, I want it in your heart. I know what it is. I just want him to come into your heart. You see, there's a move going on right now. It's been moving among us for quite a while. And I see the people are rejoicing. Sunday was a wonderful time to see some of you shouting and rejoicing. That's all I want. I want to see it in you. I know what I have and what's in me and what's been doing. I don't want you to miss it. Don't be afraid. This is the most wonderful time that has ever been on God's earth. Because we are, listen, we are not back in his foreknowledge. And we're not predetermined out yonder to go. We're living by faith, which is the I am that he spoke to Moses from the burning bush. I am means ever present for eternity. He's here now. Don't worry about tomorrow. Don't be concerned about yesterday. Just be concerned about what's going on right now in your heart and lives. Just worship him. Father, we thank you. We ask you to just help us. Go with us now as we dismiss for, Lord, the service. People on the way home, take care of everybody. Give a safe journey, Lord. Let everything work out all right. Be with the sick ones among us, Lord, and reach down and touch each one. Be with Brother Forney, Lord. Touch him, Lord. We need him. And Brother Homer there, Longoria, Lord. Just be with these ones like these and the ones that are sick. Oh, Lord, just reach down and touch each one and have your way in Jesus' name. Amen. You're dismissed.
Orders to prepare the banquet for when the redeemed are gathering in. It's a heavenly anthem with the city in the sky when the redeemed are gathering in. Oh, when the redeemed are gathering in, I'm washed like snow and free from all sin. I will shine.